Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
I really don't even have an outline today. It's just a simple thought that I want to share with you, and I hope that this simple thought will be a major blessing to you today. Matthew chapter number 1, we're going to look in verse number 20. Matthew 1, verse number 20. We're just going to look at the first seven words. The first seven words. Just a piece of Scripture. The Bible says, but while he, speaking of Joseph, but while he thought on these things, but while he thought on these things. Lord, we need your help today. Lord, I understand how weak and frail I am. I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, have mercy upon me and speak through me. Lord, I have no desire to waste your time or waste these folks' time, Lord. Those in the auditorium or those, Lord, that will be listening through the audio or video, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. Please use me today. Thank you for all you've done here at the Open Door Baptist Church. Help us now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. And while he thought on these things, by the way of introduction, I would tell you that my text comes from a chapter in Matthew that many would only teach or preach during the Christmas season. We know that chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Matthew shares with us the biblical record of the virgin birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that I do understand, I do know that December 24th, December 25th has gone. It's over with. I understand the Christmas season of 2010 is gone. We enjoyed putting our Christmas tree up and the decorations. We had a good time. Christmas music was just playing in our home. And Angela had some food cooking, some little knickknacks and finger foods, and we had a big time. The atmosphere was totally different taking everything down. I promise you that. It's not fun putting stuff in the attic or underneath the house. When the boxes that it came in, it don't fit back in it. I don't know how that works. But it's not the same fun. Amen. And so I understand Christmas 2010 is gone. But I do believe that all Scripture, every Scripture of the Word of God, is ordained of God, and it's alive and it's powerful to touch our hearts and to help us at any time of the year. I do believe that it's all right for me to be in Matthew chapter 1, even though it's January the 2nd, 2011. And I'm going to share with you today some thoughts that the Lord laid upon my heart and some thoughts that were laid upon in my mind by a conversation I was having with my wife. And when we were talking about this story, thoughts began to float in my mind. And these verses in Matthew chapter number 1 became very interesting to me. Now, you know today is the second day of a new year, January the 2nd, 2011. But it's also the first service of 2011 for the Open Door Baptist Church. And I believe that conversations, I've already heard conversations this morning, among our church family have consisted of resolutions, of commitments for the new year, of goals for the new year. Brother Davis said that this year he was not setting any goals, but he was just going to report to duty every morning. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I do pretty well with being true to my commitments, except the ones I make on New Year's Day. Is anybody else like that? I'm like that. The commitments I made on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I failed so miserably. During the rest of the year, I do pretty good. But just those goals, commitments, I'm not going to do this the rest of the year. Oh, you better be careful. You better be careful. I'll not eat chocolate the month of January. You'll eat twice as much chocolate as you normally would. Amen. And so I want to look at this thought today. I think it's appropriate that we look today in Matthew 1. And look at this man named Joseph, a great man of God, a man that God used to be engaged to Mary, who eventually would give birth to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, these scriptures are covering the time just months before our Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And I want to think today and have you think with me about Joseph and what he was facing that was new in his life. Hopefully that we can look into the scriptures today and we understand that yes, we are facing a new year. You and I don't really understand or know exactly what new things we'll have to face in 2011. Some of us may have to face the death of a spouse. Some of us may have to face the death of a child, one of our own children. May have to face the conversation with a doctor who says for the first time in your life you have cancer or you have heart failure. And so there's a lot of things that may be new in 2011 that you and I may have to face. And so as we think about this, facing a new year and all the new things that may come with a new year, I want to look at Joseph and how he was facing something new. Something that he had never seen before. Something that he had never faced before. Now, at the time of verses 18 through 21, Joseph and Mary are engaged. They are engaged. I want to show you what Joseph is facing. They're engaged here. They are not yet married. Now understand that the Jewish engagement is not like our engagement of today. When you study the book of Deuteronomy and even the book of Leviticus, you'll understand under the law of Moses given to him by God on Mount Sinai that when a Jewish man and a Jewish woman was engaged, the only possible way to break that engagement was a divorce. Today we can just say, give me my ring back. It's over. I like somebody else, but this was serious stuff. Engagement was serious to the Jewish people. Now, the Jewish engagement was much, much, much more binding than our engagements today. Normally, a father and a mother would have a son, and then they, at a young, that child's young age, they would go to another Jewish family and they would have a daughter and they would make an agreement that their son would marry their daughter. Even though they were 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 years old, they were engaged from that time until they were married. And we know that after the engagement period, when there was finally a marriage ceremony, that the father would, we say, reimburse the family whose daughter was married off to his son. He was to reimburse what he was losing from his daughter leaving his home and being married to that person's son. And then that father would keep the money for his daughter, and if the daughter ever was widowed or divorced, then that money was to go to the widowed wife. And so a lot of customs and a lot of regulations and laws that the Jews had concerning engagement. And it was only breakable by divorce. According to the law of Moses, given to him by God, Joseph and Mary were legally bound to each other. I want you to look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, not only talking about a ceremony, but it's talking about sexually, they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It's very important that you and I understand and see it in black and white that Joseph and Mary had no sexual encounter before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because we are to understand Joseph was not the father of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there that in verse 20, the angel said that this is not of Joseph and Mary's doing, but this is of the Holy Ghost. she is conceived of the Holy Ghost. They say that the blood of the Father runs in the veins of the child. And the blood of Joseph, therefore, is not running or did not run through the veins of Jesus, but holy blood, sinless blood, pure blood, because he got his blood from his Father, a holy Father, God the Father. So it's very important. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus only had one Father, and his Father was God the Father. But notice what it says there. It shows the binding of this engagement. The Bible says there, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband. Her husband. According to the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll not go there today, but according to the book of Deuteronomy, the law of Moses given to him by God, when a Jewish man and a Jewish woman were engaged, if it was arranged by their parents, whether it was, or by them personally, when they were engaged at that time, it was such a binding engagement that the actual ceremony, whenever it was down the road, was just formality. The Bible calls Joseph Mary's husband, even though they're not even got married yet. Joseph and Mary's not living together. They're engaged, but they're not living together. And so here's the great problem. If Joseph is not married to Mary, and Mary is not married to Joseph, and Mary is pregnant with child, then we've got a major problem here. We've got a problem that the law says that if during engagement, if there were sexual intercourse, that both could be stoned to death. Remember that? You remember stories in the Old Testament? Remember that? Where they had a sexual encounter before marriage? America and this world better thank God that we don't have to live by the law of Moses or the Pentateuch that the Jews had to. Because there'd be a lot of people that have been dead already, been stoned to death. Thank God that we're not under law, we're under grace now. Jesus came and He was grace. Amen. But what I want you to understand is the reason that we find, verse 20, that Joseph is thinking on these things. It is more than him sitting there and just having a little thought in his mind. He is concerned. He is worried. He is troubled in his heart that he is engaged to a woman that no doubt he loves. And not all marriages at this time were because of love, but because of to keep a family name going and so forth. But I believe scripturally that Joseph and Mary were in love with each other. God had put them together. You believe that? I mean, it was God's will that Joseph and Mary be married. And so I believe they loved each other. So here's Joseph, who, as the Bible says, a righteous man, a godly man. God would not have called somebody to be the earthly father, so to speak, the earthly leader of Jesus, who was a wicked man. Now, would you? So Joseph's a godly man. And Mary is a godly lady. The Bible says that she was highly favored among women. And so we have Mary, who is pregnant, and her espoused husband, her engaged husband, Joseph, and everybody's going to find out that they are not even married. Here's a pregnant Jewish girl that's not married. Now, Joseph in verse 20 is thinking on these things. What is he thinking about? He's thinking, how can I fix this? Now, I want you to understand that I'm talking today about facing a new year. I don't know about you in 2010, but there were some things that came in my life that were new to me that I tried to fix myself. A lot of us are fixers. We like to fix things. When things come in our life, we want to get our hands on it, and we want to fix it. But you and I have to learn that only He can fix it right. Only He can make it right. I'll never forget the lesson that I tried to teach Matthew when he was trying to learn to tie his shoes, and he was so interested in learning on how to tie shoes and making two bows and tighten a knot. And I remember that I knew that he wasn't quite there. He would try and it would just fall to pieces. And so I'd put my hands on the shoe and I would tie and I would fix that bow. And while I was doing that, Matthew said, "I know, Dad, I got it, Dad." He's put his hands in there. And he'd want to do it. And so there was his little hands and there was my hands. There was his hands of inexperience and there was my hands of experience. I've been tying shoes for a long time now. I've tied many of his shoes. And I've been there before as his father. And I would tie that, so I thought I would teach him a lesson, Brother Clint. And while his hands were in there on the strings, I tied his fingers in the string. And his fingers were caught in the string. "Dad, why you do that for?" I said, "Son, the reason I did this is because I'm trying to teach you a lesson. When your father is trying to fix it, get your hands out of the way." And the Holy Ghost of God said, "That worked for you also, big boy. When you've got a major problem, something needs to be tied up, get your hands out of the way because they're inexperienced. His hands are experienced. His hands has worked miracles. His hands can still work miracles. Get your hands out of the way. Quit trying to fix it and let God fix it because it'll come out right every time." But Joseph is like you and I in 2010 many times. He is like you and I, maybe this coming year, how things will come in our life and we're going to try to fix it. Come on, I need some witnesses. You don't have to act holy. You're just like me. There's going to be times where you're going to try to fix it. You think you know the answer and you're going to try to do it without God. You're going to do your best to do it without the Lord. And so Joseph is thinking, how can I fix this? Now, according to the law of Moses, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, Joseph could have divorced Mary. And he's actually thinking about doing that. And there's two reasons that he's thinking of doing this. Now understand, as I said earlier, the only way to break an engagement was not say, "Give me the ring back." It wouldn't say, "I found another love." It was a letter or a paper of divorcement. They had to be divorced. And so he's thinking the best thing in this situation, here I am, I thought I found the love of my life, I thought we were going to serve God Jehovah the rest of our life, and she's pregnant. And Joseph is saying, "I know that it wasn't me that planted the seed. I know it wasn't me. Mary," the thought had came in his mind, "Mary had been unfaithful to me. What had Mary done? What?" You know, you say, "Well, Joseph's a good man and he trusted Mary," but he's human like you and I. No doubt the thought could have came in his mind and maybe it went out quickly, but thought, "How'd this happen? I've been faithful to her. I've been true to her. I'm not going to have any sexual intercourse until we're married. And now my only love, my engaged wife, is pregnant." And so here he is, he's thinking, first of all, what is folks going to think about me? I mean, today, the world says, "Well, it's okay, teenagers, you can have sexual intercourse, just make sure you're safe about it." There's no Bible for that. God's Word says to abstain from that until you're married. And so, but the world says, "Well, we're going to water it down a little bit and say, go ahead and have that intercourse. And then, just make sure you're safe about it. Make sure you use all the birth controls and all those things so that they won't be a big problem come out of it." Come on. That's the world's theology. But God's Word says that you take your hands off of her. That's why I tell our teenagers, I preach so hard on that. The last time I preached our youth service on about, David and Bathsheba and how they got in trouble. And you remember I talked about how it was dark? You teenage boys, you teenage girls, you ought not be in the dark with the opposite sex. Get away, it causes trouble every single time. One of our parents said the other day about one of their teenage children, they were talking about the way that they handled the situation, and they were so wise, and I was so proud of them. They said, "We want to know where that person is at all times. We got to know. Praise God for that. I want to know where my children are." You say, "Oh, you're too hard on them. You're too hard. There's times I'm not hard enough. I'm not hard enough. And I want to know where my children are. I want to know where they're at." Amen? If I say be home at so-and-so time, that's what I expect. Amen. I was raised that way, and that's the way I'm going to raise or rear my children too. Amen. There's a reason for that, teenagers. And so we've got to be careful. My grandpa used to say, nothing good goes on after 11 o'clock at night. He always said that. Nothing good goes on after 11 o'clock at night. Amen. That was his saying. But there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. Amen. You get in trouble after 11 o'clock at night. Amen. But anyway, I'm not setting you curfew. You parents can do that yourself. Grandparents, you can do that. But nothing good goes on past 11 o'clock. Amen. And so the Bible says he thought on these things. Now here's my thoughts and we're done. Number one, Joseph is trying to fix this problem. He had never faced this in his life before. This is something new to him. We're facing a new year. You and I may have to face new difficulties this year. We may have to face new valleys this year. Some of you may be healthy as can be. This year may be the year that you're told you have some ailment, some disease. This may be the year you have a heart attack. This may be the year you're facing something you've never faced in your life. I want to look at Joseph. Joseph's facing something he had never faced. Something that has changed his life. His spouse, wife, is pregnant. He's worried about this, number one, because he, as a religious Jew, as a Jew that is true to Judaism and to the law of Moses, and a Jew that is respected among the Jews of this time, he is now going to be disregarded, pushed to the side. He's going to be mocked and ridiculed for not keeping the law. He'll be tagged as one of the worst sinners of his day. He's thinking on that. And then he looks at Mary. He knows that the Jewish law is that Mary could be stoned to death. Mary could have been stoned to death at this time. So he's thinking, what am I going to do? I'm facing something I've never faced in my life. So he is thinking on these things. I guess we'll do a lot of thinking in 2011 about things, won't we? I guess the one thing that'll get you down and out, discouraging her, is doing a lot of thinking. We watched a movie at my parents' house today, a kids movie, and they had that guy they called the Thinker. He sits there and he's thinking, you know who I'm talking about? And I thought to myself, they asked him a question because he thinks so much, see if he could get the answer from him. And I thought to myself, man, if I sat there and thunk all day, I'd be discouraged. I'd be down in my heart. I'd be ready to shoot myself, buddy. I mean, I don't like sitting around and think about things. Do you? And so I thought about how Joseph is sitting there thinking, you know what we're going to do? If we're not careful, church, people of God, when things come in our life in 2011 that we have never experienced before, we're going to sit around. If we're not careful, we're going to think about it, and we're going to think about it, and we're going to think about it. Next thing you know, we once were on fire for the Lord. Now we're cold and indifferent, and we're discouraged. I mean, it's very easy. I can tell you from experience, and I know you can say likewise in your experiences, that you can get down in a hurry. Concerning some of your thoughts. So he's trying to fix it. The second thing I want you to see is, number one, Joseph's trying to fix it. Number two, God already had it fixed. God already had it fixed. I'm trying to help you today for 2011. A new year, new things we'll face. Joseph faced something new. He tried to fix it. You and I want to fix things. You and I want to get it done. We want the answer now. We're going to do whatever it takes to get the problem over with. We have to sweep it under the rug. We have to, whatever it's going to take, we want to get rid of this problem. Joseph wanted to fix it. Number two, God already had it fixed. Look what it says there in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, I mean, he is thinking hard, what am I going to do? They're going to stone Mary. I better get a private divorce together. I'm going to have to divorce her. But while he's thinking on these thoughts, behold, or just like that, surprise, 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 as Gomer Pyle would say. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's thinking, he's trying to fix it. He's ready to go down to the lawyer's office, get the divorce papers. He wants it as private as possible. He don't want Mary to be stoned. He don't want to look like he's a wicked sinner for committing sexual sins with an engaged Jewish woman. He don't want it to look bad. He's trying his best to cover it up, trying his best to do what's right, what he thinks will help both sides. And while he's thinking, the angel of the Lord appeared. Said, Joseph, you're trying to fix it. I'm paraphrasing now. It's in this verse. But Joseph, God's already got it fixed. God's already got it fixed. God's already got a plan, Joseph. You don't know the plan yet. I'm fixing to reveal to you the plan, but God's got a plan. God's got a way of escape. God is still in control, and He's got His will be performed, and His will, His plan is this. That she is espoused to you, but she is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the reason that she's conceived of the Holy Ghost is that she's going to bring forth a son, and they're going to call his name Jesus, and he's going to save people from their sins. I would say that God had that situation under control. Don't you know that as soon as Joseph heard that, he went, whew. That lawyer was charging me $100 an hour anyway, plus the postage and the mailing and all the paperwork. Thank God. Boy, he already had it figured out. You know, I guess that feeling is one of the most wonderful feelings you can have besides being saved, is when you know in your heart and trust the Lord enough that you know, God's already got it figured out. I can't fix it, but God's already fixed it. So you know what we pray? We pray, Lord, I'm in this situation. I need you to fix it. I need you to do something. God is not a God that has a clock on His oven. He's not a God that operates according to the little hand, big hand on the clock. He's eternal. God is eternal. It's hard for some folks to understand that, but God can see the past, the present, and the future all at one time. He can. So, you and I need to understand if God is, He's in yesterday, He's in the day, and He's already in tomorrow. If we understand that, then we understand that God has already fixed the problem. God already has fixed it. He's not revealed it to us yet, but God has already fixed it, amen. And so we need to understand that Joseph, number one, he's trying to fix this problem about this new thing. Number two, God already had it fixed. Notice this in closing. When we face something new, we have the same emotions that Joseph had in verse 20. When we face something new, we have the same emotions that Joseph had. First of all, the angel said to Joseph, what? Fear not. Miss Mary, what we do when we face something new, Brother Wendell? We have fear. We call it the fear of the unknown. I don't want to discourage you today, but if I was to sit here and if I was to look at January and February and a calendar of 2011 and knowing the things that I went through in 2010 and 2009 and 2008, knowing that I faced things in those years that previous years I'd never faced, if I sit there long enough, I'll get scared of 2011. I'm right. Now, I know you may be super spiritual, but it can make me worry and scared. What will I face? Will I have to bury one of my children in 2011? Will I have to bury my wife in 2011? Will I be told that I got cancer in 2011? Well, what will happen in 2011 to Open Door Baptist Church? Will I have families that one time were faithful will stab me in the back? Will I have folks that were on fire for God now be cold and indifferent away from God? I've got some fears of 2011. Joseph feared this new thing. His espoused wife was pregnant. He feared that. He feared the law. But the angel said, fear not. And I believe that the second thing that brought on that fear, what fear brought on was doubt. I believe Joseph not only had the emotion of fear as he faced this new thing, but I believe he had the emotion of doubt. I believe he had doubt in his mind. Are you hearing me today? I believe he wondered, what is this all about? What is going wrong in my life? Everything was so hunky-dory. I was engaged to this beautiful virgin Jewish lady, and now all of a sudden she's pregnant. And we're not even married. What fell apart? What happened? And he starts doubting in his mind about things. But no doubt he probably doubted his God. He said, I've lived for my God. He began to doubt his God. He doubted his God's provision. He doubted his God's protection. He doubted his God's promises. Now, if we're not careful, when we face something new in this new year, when it hits us broadside or hit us slap in the face, if we're not careful, we'll be overwhelmed with the emotion of fear and we'll be overwhelmed with the emotion of doubt. But yet, God sent an angel. God sent an angel. Aren't you glad that God's in time, on time, every time? Just when Joseph needed to hear from God, when he was drowning in fear, drowning in doubt, God sent an angel. Hallelujah. And the angel said, fear not. You don't have to have any doubt, Joseph. I know you're trying to fix it. I know you don't understand this new thing you're facing, but let me tell you some good news, Joseph. God's already got it fixed, amen. God's already got it figured out. I don't know what I'll face. I don't know what you'll face. I hope you have a prosperous new year. But I will say this to you, listen to me closely. Understand this and believe this in your heart, that the God of heaven has already got it under His control. He's already got it fixed. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. You may not see it at that moment, but just when you're in that, drowning in that doubt, drowning in that fear, He's not going to send an angel as it did for Joseph. He doesn't do that anymore. You know what He's gave us besides an angel? The Word of God. Joseph got an angel. You and I have got the Bible. Joseph didn't have the 66 completed copy of the Word of God. But you and I are living in a blessed day that we have the whole copy of the Bible. Joseph got an angel. You and I got a more sure word of prophecy. We've got the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And you can ransack the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, and you'll find Scriptures over and over again. When you're drowning in fear and you're drowning in doubt, God's got it under control. God's got it under control. Number one, Joseph tried to fix this new thing. He was faced with a new problem. We're faced with a new year. There'll be new problems. There'll be new discouragements. There'll be new setbacks. There'll be new informations that we'll receive that will not be positive. Don't know what we'll face this year. Bible says man born of a woman is few of days and full of troubles. Somebody in here may have to bury a wife this year. Somebody in here or listening by the way of internet may have to bury a husband. May have to bury a child. May have to happen. Preacher, that won't happen to me. I hope to God it doesn't. But it happens every single day. And you're going to come up with some trials and temptations and heartaches that you've never faced in 2011. We need to understand, number one, like Joseph, yeah, we're going to try to fix it, but we can't. And number two, God's already got it fixed. God's already got it fixed. The Bible says in verse 22 in closing, prove it to me, preacher, that it was already fixed. God had a purpose, yes. Now all this was done. What? Mary being pregnant? Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And the third thing I want to say in closing is found in verse 24. Number one, Joseph tried to fix it, but he couldn't. Number two, God already had it fixed. Number three, if God's already got it fixed, why don't we just go ahead and trust God? All right, listen to me today. If God's already got it fixed, why don't we just go ahead and trust God? Look at verse 24. The same Joseph that's doubting, the same Joseph that is fearing, wondering what to do, how can he fix it? When he heard from God, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph just went ahead and said, God, since you got it fixed, I'm just going to go ahead and trust you. There's not a person in here today, not a person that will listen to this message through the way of the sermon audio that can confess or admit that they have fully trusted God 100% every day of 2010. We all need some help in trusting the Lord. Joseph found out he couldn't fix it, but God already had it fixed. And he learned a valuable lesson. If I can't fix it, if I just make it a bigger mess than what it originally was, and if God can fix it, and He did, then why don't I just trust God? Why don't I just trust the Lord? God help us in 2011 to trust the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.